Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you and welcome to this morning's live radio broadcast. It is Monday, February 19th, 2018. I'm Vincent Xavier. You're listening to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network, and I am so glad that you're tuned in today. I've got a word to share with you, and I want to begin with the river is flowing. Yes, the river of God is flowing into a people that have thirsted for his presence. Hallelujah. And healing power. According to Ezekiel's vision, in Ezekiel chapter 47, there is a river that carries with it the supernatural ability to heal and make alive all that comes into contact with it. This river is specially designed by God for the third day church living in the prophetic seventh day. In the Amplified Bible, the vision speaks of a double river that flowed. This is the prophetic double portion that has been mentioned for many years now. To all in the prophetic in whom this river has flowed, here's what happens. A new perspective, a new understanding has arisen. The understanding of the third day and the seventh day is opening the eyes of God's people everywhere. The seventh seal that is being opened in the church is the perfect understanding of the Christ in this new day, Jesus. In Ezekiel's vision, this river was seen flowing into the Dead Sea, or the Dead Sea of humanity, quickening and making alive the life force within. There were many trees on either side of the river. However, in the Revelation in chapter 22, we see a river flowing through the midst of the street and a tree, which is the tree of life. The shift or the paradigm adjustment necessary at this time is exactly that, a shift from many trees to one tree. We are told in Scripture that Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. New Testament theology has changed from many trees to one tree, and that tree is Christ, who is life. So the reality is that the tree of life is us. We, the branches, are connected to the vine, and all the branches in this tree bear fruit and produce healing medicines in its leaves. According to Ezekiel's vision, the many trees all bore fruit, each one, and their leaves, each tree, were for the nations. In the Revelation, there is this one tree bearing its fruit every month, and the leaves of this tree are for the healing and restoration of the nations. So the picture we get is that the nations have been sick. The nations have been broken through divine justice and judgment. However, this tree yields the necessary ingredients for renewed life. Now, that may sound a little strange to some people tuning in on this Monday morning. Maybe it's your first cup of coffee. But I want you to know that what I'm saying to you is true. And I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 47, and I want to share with you a little unction out of this river. And I know that a lot of Bible students have understood this, but I want to share it with you. Maybe you need to be refreshed as I do myself. So let's begin in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. It says, "Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and he behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward." All right, so now we have waters that are flowing. And it says, "For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar." Verse 2. So I'm in Ezekiel 47, 2. I'm reading to you a vision that Ezekiel had of the future city of God. Okay, God gave him the vision of the city of God in the last days. This is his vision. God gave it to him. It's coming. We're going to be a part of it, but I want to talk more about this water. In verse 2, "Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looks eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles." So can you imagine yourself right now? I want you to see yourself walking into this water. You're going to see what it is in just a moment. And it's just up to your ankles. You're standing there in this water, and it's to your ankles. "Then the waters were to the knees." Hallelujah. All right, so it began with the ankles. Verse 4 says, "Again, he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000. This is the third 1,000. And me through the waters were to the loins. After he had measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over." Are you ready to swim in these waters? That's what I want to ask you. Do you want to take a nice dive in the river of life this morning? Ladies and gentlemen, there are living waters with healing powers. Listen to this. In verse 6, "He said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now, when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, go down into the desert, and go into the sea." Now, I've been in Jerusalem, and I know the east gate is sealed in the temple, but when it opens, it talks about this river will flow. Watch this. "So it's going to go down into the sea," speaking of the Dead Sea, "which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed." The waters in the Dead Sea. "And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Engelem. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for the meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a spiritual picture given to the prophet Ezekiel thousands of years ago, how that the river of living waters would flow, and everywhere it goes, it would bring healing. He was actually seeing the river of life, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. The Holy Spirit is the river, and the river is flowing. It's been flowing for 2,000 years, and everywhere the river flows, whatever it makes contact with comes to life. Unless, of course, it is just a marsh or a stagnant place that is unwilling to move. No, I say, jump into the river. There is room to swim. Let the river take you to the place of healing, restoration, and deliverance. I tell you, it's all in the Holy Spirit of God, and you and I get the foretaste of it. There's a lot more to come. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22. Let's talk about this river. And here's what it says. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Didn't we just read that in the type and shadow in the Old Testament? Now comes the reality in the New. Verse 2, in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. Remember, in Ezekiel's vision, there were many trees, and it yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I'm in Revelation 22. There's a tree that has leaves and fruit on it, and I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the tree of life, and you and I are the branches. You and I are the ones that produce the fruit, and the leaves are on our branches. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, we are the healing to the nations. Everywhere we go, there's a river flowing that brings life to everybody that will come into it. We encourage people to come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and then begin the journey in the Holy Spirit up to the ankles, then the knees, then the loins, and then to swim in this spirit of life and let it take you where it desires to go. Verse 3, Revelation 22, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. I want you to know that at the end of the matter, you go back to your Bible and Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, particularly in Genesis chapter 2, what do we find in Genesis chapter 2? We find a garden, we find the tree of life, and we find many other trees. And what do we find? A river that breaks into four heads. There are four rivers. And I want you to know something about the rivers. In the Garden of Eden, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, you do the study, there are four rivers. Now, these rivers are watering the garden, and I want you to know that in the very last chapter of the Bible, all the way back to a garden with a tree of life, with a river, I'm telling you, everything is going full circle. God is going to have his way. We are on a journey, and right now, we need to be in the river. It's taking us back to the garden, back to restoration, back to Eden, back to healing. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, jump into the river now. Let your journey be sweet and joyful, for there is healing in the river. And what does the river represent? The Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? It is the anointing. And I loose unto you that have faith right now, that anointing, that river of life, jump in it. Jump in the river of life. See it with your spirit, the eyes of your faith, and jump in the river. Take your skivvies off and go for a skinny dip. Go for a dive. Get that old human nature off of you. Let the river cleanse you. Let the river wash you. It is imperative that you go forward in the healing and divine power of God Almighty. I'm speaking to anybody, everybody that's having problem with demons, sickness, disease. You're broke, busted, and disgusted. You're oppressed and depressed. You're sorrowful and sad. I say unto you that rise up. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. There is a river flowing, ladies and gentlemen. That river is taking you to places that you've never been before. That river is taking you to an accelerated place, an advanced place, a kingdom reality. Let the river, the Holy Spirit, it has a divine intelligence. Let it quicken you. Let it quicken every cell in your body. Let it crystallize everything inside of you. Let it bring anointing and life, and let your blood flow and let it pump. And get up and get ready to go. We've got a journey ahead of us. Yes, we do, ladies and gentlemen, have a journey ahead of us. I want to read just a little bit more of some prophetic things that God is saying. And you may be saying right now, what are you talking about the third day? What are you talking about the seventh day? Well, it is my desire to go deep into the revelation of the third day and the seventh day, because it is the territory of the people of God living in this prophetic season that we are in. What does it mean? Well, we know, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That means 2,000 years ago when Jesus was on the earth, that was 2 days ago. We're crossing into the third millennial day right now, according to the Hebrew calendar and even the Gregorian calendar. But we know that we're just now entering into the brand new beginnings of a third millennium since Christ was on the earth. But we also know that from Adam to Abraham were 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus Christ were 2,000. That's 4,000. And then the last 2,000 years of the church age, that's 6,000. We're entering into the seventh millennium, the seventh day. So we're entering into the third day. We're entering into the seventh day. And, you know, minutes and seconds and weeks and days and years are all insignificant in the timing of God. It's a timeless realm. And we're just seeking to understand the wisdom and revelation of the Holy Spirit of the season that we are in. And so we have these 2 days, the seventh day of God Almighty, the third day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are living at a time when they're both coming together. But what does it mean? You have to go back to the Bible. You have to study what the third day was, all the different scriptures on it, and then go to the seventh day. And what is the seventh day? Everything, God's Sabbath, God's rest. And then you add the numbers together, 7 and 3 equal 10. 10 is the number of redemption. Redemption is luo in the Greek, and it means to fully dissolve, loose, break, undo the affliction, to relieve and release God's people. Hallelujah. To break the yoke. And what breaks the yoke? The anointing. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Don't you despise the day of small beginning and the understanding of the third day and the seventh day. It is God's perfect design for you to know what is available to you as an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. We're all going to need to know our covenant rights. Let me read to you just a little bit more about the day of rest. I want to talk about the seventh day. You know it's a day of rest. So the seventh day is a day full of mysteries, revealed and spiritual events that will change the world forever. Get that in your spirit. This is all coming from Scripture. This is not made up. This is everywhere. Let me say it again. The seventh day is a day full of mysteries, revealed. Are you ready for mystery to be revealed? I've just had a mystery revealed to me last night driving home. My God, was it a profound mystery that brought a release in my own spirit? God's got mysteries to unveil to you about your life, about the things that have been holding you back, the things that have been hindering you, the generational blockages. I'm telling you, there's a revelation coming to your spirit that's going to expose the enemy, and the enemy's going to be yanked out of that place, and the river's going to flow. And I'm telling you, you're in for a new season of restoration. It's coming. And know this, in the first place, we know that the seventh day, according to Scripture, is the day God rested from all his works that he had made. That's in Genesis 2, 1 to 3. So we know the seventh day is about a day of rest. So we know, according to Hebrews chapter 4, and if you read in your Bible, it says this, that there remains a rest for the people of God, and that we must all labor, listen, we must all labor to enter into that rest. That means you got to put your foot in the river. You've got to walk down to the river. You've got to put your foot in the river. You've got to believe. Our work, our labor is to believe. The people in Jesus's day asked him, Lord, what work must we do? What work must we do? And he said, here's the work of God, that you believe. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a river, and in this seventh day, there is a place of rest for God's people, and we must labor to enter into that rest. It's a labor of faith to believe that the rest is real. Now listen, The key to surviving the times we are in is rest. To surviving the times we are in is rest. The winds that are now blowing upon the earth, along with the militant mindset of no more cooperation, has set the stage for the four winds to blow. You see, this is absolutely amazing to me as I'm reading this, because there is no more cooperation. Have you noticed the resistance to the conformity demands being put upon the human race? The human race is spasmodic right now, and the New World Order has not yet been able to quash the will of men and women. There's a resistance. There's something, there's a knowing, and there's a fight going on. There's no cooperation anymore. And yet there will be, for a period of time, we know in the future, the very near future, there will be the controlling power of the Antichrist, where people will come under the control and influence. So, but here it is. Let me get back to this. The winds that are now blowing upon the earth, along with the militant mindset of no more cooperation, has set the stage for the four winds to blow. The nations of the earth are in an uproar as the Antichrist forces are hard at work to establish their goals. Yet in the midst of this raging storm, there is a place called rest. Hallelujah. Wherein God has called us all to believe. This place can only be entered in through one portal, and that is through the portal of faith. It was unbelief that kept the children of Israel out of their promised land, and this was the reason for their never having obtained that rest that God had promised to them. Now, I want to stop right there for a moment. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 4 in the Bible. Let's get to Hebrews chapter 4. Because I don't want anybody to think that we're just saying things. I want you to know, and even if you know, it's good to see it again. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to begin in verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, for 4 months, I've been declaring prophetic words that come right from the Father's heart that are absolutely amazing. I did it this morning as well. But you know, those words won't do one bit of good if your faith does not take you into apprehending it. I'm telling you, none of this makes any sense, or it doesn't come to fruition or reality without your faith saying, I'm taking it. I want it. I want the river. I believe in the river. Why? Because it's written in the Word of God. And yet there were people, it says, that they had no faith mixing with the Word. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day, on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. I'm not reading to you out of the Old Testament. This is the book of Hebrews. This is in the New Covenant, talking about the seventh day of God Almighty being a day of rest. We've entered into the seventh millennium since man began his journey on this earth outside the Garden of Eden. And we are here now, and God is declaring the second coming of Jesus is at the door. The 1,000-year millennial reign is before us. We are living in the last moments of time before the Great Tribulation. That will last for a shorter period of time. And then we're going to get on with the 1,000 years when the Lord Jesus returns, puts a chain on the dragon, casts him into the lake of fire or into a pit. The false prophet and the beast are going into the lake of fire first. But let's get on here, verse 6, Hebrews 4. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, that may be you or I today, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. And he goes on and says this. Again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, are you hearing his voice today? Harden not your hearts, for if Joshua had given them rest, speaking under the Old Testament when they went into the promised land, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. It is a supernatural rest. It is a divine rest. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The only way that you or I could stay out of the rest of God is by not believing. But what is the rest? Here it is. You ready? This is the rest that was provided for all men and women on this planet for the last 2,000 years in this dispensation, in this covenantal age, when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." At that moment, what he declared is all of the sins of all of the nations of every human being on this earth have been paid for in full. You see, the nations don't even know it. They don't even know that they're forgiven. They don't even know that God gave his life for them while they were enemies of his, while they hate God. But you see, when Jesus was on the cross and he said, "It is finished," that was it. That was the moment that he died for the sins of the whole world, to the Jew first, and then to the nations of the earth. And for 2,000 years, this good news has been preached to the nations of the earth. And we don't know how many people have received it, but we know there's a lot. And here at the end of the ages, the gospel's being preached. Men could be forgiven. They can enter into his rest by no longer laboring under guilt, shame, and condemnation. You no longer have to live in the guilt of your past, the shame of your past. You don't have to experience the condemnation of the devil, the accusation. You can literally fall into the arms of God in Jesus Christ and begin to receive the divine supernatural rest of God that will bring a restoration in your life, a healing, deliverance, salvation. Let this rest work. It is finished. And he who believes has ceased from his own work. Stop trying to be a religious person. Stop trying to do something to please God. The only thing that pleases God is faith. And you got to have faith to believe that what Jesus did is more than enough, and there's nothing you're ever going to do or I'm ever going to do to make God a little bit happier. He's already done everything. The only thing that makes God happy is your faith to enter in so he could bless your life with all the eternal blessings that he's prepared for you, which are restoration, healing, deliverance, salvation. These are the spiritual blessings of God. And as you go in this little momentary, temporary world, this little splice, this shooting star, this vapor of life, you know, if God gives you much, so be it. If he gives you little, so be it. But know that your life is way beyond what's going on this earth. This is the truth. I'm telling you the truth of God. It's time to enter into his rest. Now, listen, I want to get back to this prophetic word here. Okay? We're talking about the rest of God. This generation must apprehend this prophetic time promise by faith. Let us be clear about this one issue before moving on to the next. The scriptures declare that we must enter into his rest. If you want to live out your days in peace and abundance, which are the blessings that our Lord Jesus Christ came to give, then we must do it through a settling down and repose. This kind of life requires a restful condition in all parts of our being, body, soul, and spirit. We cannot afford to be driven by the winds of the world in our physical bodies, by having no restful sleep, or by our thoughts and emotions in our soul realm. We must have a spiritual peace that begins at the core of our being. This peaceful habitation will work its way into our soul and body. Again, I cannot stress the importance of being found of him in peace. This is what the scriptures declare. If we find ourselves running to and fro, we will certainly miss out on the joy of rest during the times of constant frustration and aggravation. Let me interject some thoughts. You know, right now I'm pouring my heart out, but I'm resting. I've got good news for you. Even though there's energy going out, I'm resting. Maybe you're in the divine rest of God, but you're at work right now. You're driving your car. You're out there in the world doing what you're doing, but you're listening to this broadcast right now. Maybe in a country where war and terror is happening. I saw one of the most hurtful, painful videos I think I've ever seen in my life, and I'm doing everything in my power to get it out to as many people as I can of what those peaceful, nice little Indian people and their deception are doing to people that go to church. A young lady was absolutely beaten, silly, and then set on fire, and the whole thing is recorded, and you need to see it because you need to know what's going on in this world. Maybe it will help us to enter into the rest that God has for us. And yet, this young lady was being persecuted because she went to church. They literally set her on fire. I'll show you the video at some point. I'll tell you where to go to get it. But let's listen again. This is what the scriptures declare, all right? The seventh day rest of God is available to this generation. Why? Because we're the generation that's moving into the prophetic seventh day. This is the seventh millennium. However, let me be very clear at this point. The rest of God in this day is not a good idea. It is the key to survival. It is life or death. We will most assuredly be swept away by the flood and winds that are blowing across the earth if we are not rooted securely in the rest of God. There remains a rest for the people of God, says the scriptures. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. Now, when one looks deeply and examines the true meaning of rest, he or she becomes aware of the fact that rest is not a sleepy, irresponsible, lazy, or non-active realm, but rather a life that is settled in the finished work of Christ, from which the true work of Jesus can be done. In other words, when we are resting from our labors in the flesh and our own efforts to do, we simply find ourselves more open to the leading and moving of the Spirit, who has been given to us to lead us and guide us into all truth. So the rest of God is not an advocation to take an eternal vacation or early retirement from our responsibilities in this world, but to have a spiritual mindset that sees clearly the path God would have each one of us walk in order to fulfill our calling and walk our His purpose in our lives. To walk out our purpose in our lives, His purpose, and fulfilling our destiny as believers in Jesus Christ. I want to read that one more time, because this is I really believe this is for someone out there today. Let me just start right here. We are resting from our labors in the flesh and our own efforts to do. We simply find ourselves more open to the leading and moving of the Spirit, who has been given to us to lead us and guide us into all truth. The rest of God is not an advocation to take an eternal vacation or early retirement from our responsibilities in this world. To have a spiritual mindset that sees clearly the path God would have each one of us walk in order to fulfill our calling and walk out His purpose for our lives and fulfilling our destiny as believers in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the rest of God is not inactive, but overactive in the sense that so much more will be accomplished with everlasting value and results. Now, I know that Jesus Christ is my example. He's your example too. And I know that Jesus Christ was weary in His journey. That's when He met the woman at the well. But even when He was with the woman at the well, asking for some water in His wearied condition, He was still prophesying her entire life to her. I know that Jesus got away into the mountains. He went into the wilderness. He set Himself to pray. I know that the physical body needs a moment of rest. There has to be restoration. You've got to get away sometimes from the mandates and the demands of the world, and you just need to get away. But do you know, you could actually go a million miles away and still not have rest if this rest is not solidified in your life. If you have not yet, or I have not yet, walked into the rest, the finished work of Christ, we could go anywhere in the world but still have that anxiousness within our souls, and our bodies will remain tired, and we won't get the rest. But what I'm advocating, there is a physical rest, but there is this emotional peace where the mind is still. The mind is no longer being vexed and tossed and harassed by all the winds of adversity and the demonic activity going on in the world. Your mind could come into rest, your soul. God is calling your soul into peace. And that happens with the initiation of the finished work of Christ in your spirit, in your wisdom, in your knowledge, in your understanding of the cross, of the cross. Now, so much of our time has been spent on things that have not prospered and that will, at the end of the day, prove to be non-essentials in the everlasting kingdom of God. Jesus said that we should not labor for the meat that perishes, but for that which shall endure to everlasting life. Again, we spend so much time doing things that have no spiritual or eternal value. We spend time with people who do not want what we have and waste valuable time away from those who are desperately crying out for help. We spend time on ourselves way too much, working ever so diligently to have more wealth, more success, making a name for ourselves, or just spending so much time and money on making ourselves look good in the eyes of the world. All these things and so much more are the traps of the enemy that have been laid to ensnare the soul of man and take him captive away from the will of God for our lives. So then, what must we do to be saved? Repent. We must stop all our activities and examine them carefully to see what is glorifying God and what is not. If you find that your hard work is pleasing to the Lord because you are a provider for your home and your family is prospering under your hard work with appreciation, then you should continue to work hard, always seeking God's blessing upon your labors. However, if you find yourself working very hard, yet not having enough, becoming separated from your family and losing contact with your spouse, then most likely you have fallen into the trap that millions upon millions have fallen into. So repent, says the Lord. Bring your life into a godly balance. Do not spend more than you have, because if you do, you will be in debt, and the Lord commands that we owe no man anything but to love. If you are in debt because you are spending more than you are making, then you will always feel the pressure of that debt, and it will take your mind and begin to control it with anxieties and fears, and all of your prayers will be to deal with your life. Man, do I know a little bit about this? No good. This makes you ineffective in the kingdom. Better it is to have less with more of God than to have more and less of God. In short, seek not to keep up with the Joneses, for the Joneses probably are in as much stress as you will one day be if you do what they do. Instead, let us rest. Let us seek the path that leads to contentment and godly peace. Let us be diligent to access this place of rest in this most frustrating and busy time on the planet. Let us find that place of tranquility and rest assured that God is in control of our lives. Let us make the necessary adjustments to bring ourselves and those who are with us into rest. If we find a Lot in our journey, let us, like our father Abraham, give him leave. Let Lot take the best while we pursue after that which is beyond our physical sight. Yes, there is a time to let family and friends go. I am not suggesting divorce, separation, or abandonment by family members. For if there needs to be repairment in the family, that should take precedent over all else. Let us labor to have peaceful relations within our spouses and children. Let us do those things that make for peace. Again, I cannot stress the importance of being found of him in peace. We are living in serious times, and all the anxieties that have invaded the human heart have done so with a purpose, and that purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. The way to escape such an attack against your life and the well-being of your family and friends is to seek peace and pursue it with all men. The time is late. The end is near. Believe it, for all the signs are being read by those who have eyes to see. Yet be it known that that which is about to perish is only making way for that which has been prepared for those who love God is about to appear. Rest, beloved, rest. As we enter into his rest, there are a few things the Lord would like to show us. So come with me to a place in the spirit where a man named Enoch will speak to us as he himself learned to walk with God, and some wonderful things that were accomplished in him will be fulfilled in a people from all around the world. Let this man Enoch speak to us as he was a precedent set by God, called upon at this time to reveal secrets and mysteries. Are you ready? Let's go. So I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to get into that that part of what I want to read to you. Is this ministering to you? I need to know, and I know it is. There's an anointing right now on this word that God is releasing to you. It's going to be an amazing week. You need to get ready. It's going to be an amazing week. It's so good to be back on Omega Radio. For the last 10 days or so, we were broadcasting only on Blog Talk Radio, but we are now back at home at the desk, and I'm so glad to be here. And I have access to the writings that I believe God had for you, and I've got some more. But before I go any further, let's see what's going on in the realm of radio ministry. If you're out there today and you'd like to comment on what you're hearing, now is the time to make your phone call. Let's hear from you. The number is 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326. Maybe this broadcast today was specially designed for you. What have you been hearing today? What have you heard in the last 39 minutes, or as long as you've been listening to this radio broadcast? What have you heard? What is God saying to you? It's pretty clear. I believe those words written many, many years ago were destined for this moment today for you to hear them with your spiritual ears, to see the territory that God is providing for you with your spiritual eyes, and to understand this moment with your spiritual understanding. So call the number 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you into the conversation, and we'll have a little chat. Maybe you could add to what you're hearing. Maybe you have some questions. We're going to take our first call coming out of South Dakota today. Say good morning to our friends in South Dakota. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, this is a definite confirmation, what you were speaking about, Pastor Vincent, because we attended the Feast of Tabernacles, was it last year, and there was a brother there from Australia, and yourself ministering to individual people prophetically. And just last night, I had the other couple here at our home, and it was about the one brother that you ministered to. It was about coming into the rest. And what my question is this: this rest that God wants his people to come into, it is a spiritual realm or what?
Yeah, it's a spiritual rest, and what I understand about this rest is I connect it completely to Jesus on the cross being crucified and his final words, "It is finished." And I think a lot of people are laboring in the realm of fear, worry, anxiety. Jesus taught, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything will be added unto you. Jesus taught the simplicity of do not worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. And yet so many people, even in the body of Christ, are worried about these things. And they have not yet entered into the realm of, I am secure, I am at peace, I am resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. My mind is at rest. The devil cannot toss me to and fro. I am under a blood covenant. I am sealed and protected by God. I trust God that as I seek him, he's going to provide everything I need for my life. Everything. Whether it's a great job or just a little job, whether it's, you know, a wife or a husband or not a wife or a husband, whether it's a family, God has a life planned out for every person, and it begins with resting. I'm surrendering my life to Jesus because he said it is finished. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going to pursue his righteousness, and as I go, life is going to happen around me, and the good things of God are going to come into my sphere of influence. And people can actually live that way, which is an amazing blessing, because much more work for the kingdom will go forth if God's people would enter into his rest.
That was a good illustration. I understand that more thoroughly. So now, how does this scripture in the Bible fit in with the time we're living in? When Jesus spoke this, he said, "Will I find faith when I come again?" So the two of these, the faith, faithfulness, till the end, and this rest is where we got to get in the Spirit, right?
Absolutely. And again, this can only be entered into by faith. And it was unbelief that kept the people out of the promises of God in Hebrews chapter 4 under the old covenant. And so it is by faith that we enter in, and our work is to believe. Absolutely true.
Okay, now we got another question, because we have people gathered here yesterday, and we are trying to teach each other, basically, because they're of the body of Christ. But, all right, now, to bring this down one more time, all right, so now, to get faith, according to the Bible, we have to read the Word of God. Is that it?
Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. There's no doubt that faith comes by hearing the promises, reading the Word of God, staying in prayer, developing a relationship. Yeah, absolutely. Breaking bread. It's very difficult to remain in faith unless you have a very intense personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, like Jesus had with him, where he could go to the mountaintops. But Jesus was also among the people. And, you know, there were just so much happening, and the people that stay closest to Jesus and hear his voice and hear his message are going to be built up. So, yes, hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God is definitely the direction of building up your faith.
Oh, this is good. This is really good. Well, I'll let anybody else get on. I really learn a lot from the teachings that you present. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. We love you guys. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. All right. We've got some time. I'm going to take our next call coming in from, I believe this is our brother Bill here this morning. Good morning, brother Bill. How are you this morning?
Doing good, Pastor. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, sir. What's on your heart?
Well, what you said there at the end, you know, about people when they get under stress and to get worried about their debt and all that kind of stuff, that takes their focus off of the Lord. And when they start focusing on God, then what they do is they quit worrying about what they can't control, and they keep their eyes on the Lord. The Lord will direct them in the right way, in the right path. It says that we acknowledge him in all our ways, he'll guide and direct our paths. Then he'll direct them how to get out of debt. He'll direct them on what job to take or what route to take, and that peace that you talked about will come to them like a river, like you were talking about at the beginning. So the whole key to what you're saying this morning, what I'm getting anyway, is totally just stay focused on the Lord, stay focused on him, and that will give you the ability not to worry about what you can't control, and then he'll guide and direct your paths. That's what I'm getting out of this morning.
Well, that's an excellent exhortation and understanding, and it really boils down to, you know, why labor in guilt for getting ourselves in trouble? The right thing to do is confess and say, God, forgive me. I will not do this anymore, and mean it from your heart. That's repentance. And then allow the Lord to begin the process of breaking those bondages, those debts, whatever they are, and whatever got us into the position we're in. You see, you bring up an excellent point, because we literally put ourselves into stressful positions and anxieties because we're disobedient or we're not good stewards with what we have. We find ourselves getting into trouble. People also get sick because they're anxious and they're worried and they're concerned, and that is not healthy for the body. So we put ourselves in these positions, and the only right thing to do, rather than labor in the guilt and I deserve it and what a bad person I am, is confess and repent. Confess and repent. Excellent points.
Been there, done that. Be blessed. Have a great day.
Very good. All right. That's Brother Bill calling in. We appreciate that call. And let's take a call here from Pastor Ken Wagner coming in from the Northwest region of Arkansas. Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you today?
Well, good morning, Pastor. Happy to hear you back in the station again, safe and sound. Praise the Lord. You know, Pastor, I can't help but think of, I can use myself as an example of what you're talking about. And one of the things that prevented me for the longest time from trying to enter into that rest was that I had a very hard time forgiving myself of the things I had done. And every time I would start to get into a prayer time, Satan would love to bring back up every one of those thoughts, the things that I have done and the things that I had not done. It was just overwhelming at times every time I tried to do that. But until I finally realized that I had the justification from the Lord, that because of Christ's death on that cross, by the shedding of his blood, that I was set free. And he freed me from all that. Then I could, when that happened, that first time I realized that, I jumped for joy, realizing that I could enter into that kind of rest and be with him, that I could set apart a time regularly and begin to come before him and not have those worries of what I had done. It was now more concentrated upon, what do I need to do, Lord? And that's something that many, many people have to realize. The flesh will always try and get in. Satan will always try and come against you when you're trying to do the Lord's work. And it's through faith and belief in the Word and the things that you're saying this morning as well that will allow us to overcome that and overcome the enemy and become who we are and who we are needed to be for our Lord Jesus Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit, and overcome all of these things and enter into that rest.
You know, as you're talking, Pastor Ken, great admonishment, exhortation to the body of Christ, and it all begins. What I would like every one of us to do right now is just see in our sanctified imagination Jesus Christ dying on the cross. He's not there anymore, but remember what happened, and let his eyes look into your eyes. And let his words enter into your heart. It is finished. It is finished, son. It is finished, daughter. I have paid the price in full for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you may do in the future. Your sins are forgiven through your faith, through your confession, through your willingness to turn away from what you're confessing you've done. But I just want to hear those words directly from the Master dying before our eyes. Now listen, he's looking into your heart and he's looking into your life. He knows everything you've ever done. And he's saying, it's finished. I've paid. I want everybody to receive that today. That's what he wants. God wants us to receive that reality. Now, listen, I need to say this. Last night, Charlene Phillips sent me a video, and it broke my wife's heart and my heart. Patricia and I, we just came home after driving for 26 hours whenever we were on the road. And I got this video. We were laying in bed, and it was live. It was as real as everything. There's no Photoshop. I mean, this is a live video of about a 16, maybe 17-year-old girl, I don't know, maybe a little older, I don't know. And the crowd in her city had surrounded her. And the video begins with blood coming out of her nose, out of her mouth. They had beaten her. They punched her. And then they show the continual beating of grabbing her hair, and they are throwing her to the ground. They are beating her, and then they kick her in the face. And the crowd is getting more animalistic. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you for a reason. I'm telling you for a reason. And I want you to see this video. I want you to get this video. And this crowd around this girl beating her, then she still stands up again. She doesn't say anything. She's not yelling. She's just trying to get her wits about her. And some guy comes up. These are men and women grabbing her, pounding her head into the pavement. And then he kicks her with a side kick into the stomach. She goes down again. This time she doesn't move. And then somebody's over there, and you don't really know what they're doing. He seems to be talking to her. She gets up again. She gets up again. And as she's standing up, they throw lighter fluid on her and they set her on fire. And you're watching, and she's screaming, trying to put it out. She falls on the ground. She can't roll it out. She can't stop. And some guy walks by and throws more lighter fluid on her, and her whole body explodes into flames. People of that community are all watching. Why did they do that to this girl as you watch her burn alive in India? Why? Because she went to a church meeting. She went to a church meeting. We live, and I'm telling every person, whether you live in the Middle East or in Europe or in South America or the United States of America or Canada, the vicious persecution of the beast, which is going to be a mantra around the world, do not care about your faith in God. The silliness of a gospel being preached in America about how much wealth you could have, how big of a house you can have, while our brothers and sisters are being burned alive for going to church in a predominantly Hindu community, I would imagine. And to see them shouting in a frenzy, much like the Lord Jesus when they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Ladies and gentlemen, the message of entering into his rest is not a good idea. It is a key to surviving the times that we are living in. I would say that we are a moment away from the next level of cataclysmic events coming on this earth, and we are marching ever so closely to the time of persecution in the United States of America, not because we're not going to bake somebody's cake, and so they sue us and we shut our business down. We call that persecution in America, and it is to a degree. There is a level of hatred. You must understand this. There's a level of hatred that is being fanned and fueled by the powers of darkness in this generation. They do not care about your Christianity. They do not care about your faith. They do not care about your house or your car or the color of your skin or your money. I'm telling you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the odds of you coming face to face with persecutors is growing. Enter into the rest. Enter into his rest. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, but do not be ignorant. Do not bury your head in the sands of the times we are living in. If God chooses to seal you in such a way because of your response to him to keep you from that form of persecution, that level of persecution, so be it. But I want you to know that no matter what, unless the Lord returns in the next 100 years, you're going to leave this earth anyways, and so am I. How do you want to leave? Everybody wants to leave, like my 100-year-old father-in-law did, Mr. B. Want to go to sleep, and that's it. But that's not how people are dying in the world today. They're dying of flus. They're dying of terrorism. They're dying of diabetes. They're dying of heart attacks. They're dying in car wrecks, gunshots. How many people are dying every day? I looked at the numbers. It's incalculable. I mean, it's unbelievable how many people are dying every single day. And we're not even talking about the abortions. Live in peace, my brothers and sisters. I'm going to pursue it myself. Live in the rest of God. Labor from this moment forward to enter into his peace. There's no fear in peace as there is no fear in love. There's no worry. There's no anxiety. You do not have to bite your fingernails. Do not have to be afraid. You need to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. I guarantee that river of life will take you into the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. But you do need to understand, though it may never come to your door, and I proclaim that, that there is a level of hostility growing against the Church of Jesus Christ globally. And there are some very evil plots and plans of the devil, the adversary of the church. put yourself under the blood covenant, draw near to the heart of Papa, get real deep into Papa's heart. Let the cry, Abba, Father, come out. Get close to your daddy. Walk with him. Take hold of Jesus, the courageous Christ, who knew what he was going to go through. They did worse to him than burn him alive. That would have been pleasant. He experienced something that no human being on earth will ever experience. He took all the sins of the world on him and at that moment was condemned by God. He experienced every form of torment. All sickness and disease was on him, and he did it for this world, for all people everywhere. Those Hindus that did that murdering, they're just blind by the powers of darkness. They haven't come to Christ. They need to come to Christ. Would you be the missionary to go? Something to think about. Well, that's it for me today. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Patricia Joy Xavier, who is going to be sharing us out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. I'm interested to know what she is bringing forth in this hour on the Omega Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. It's a great way to start our day on Monday, our week. Trust you're going to have a great Monday afternoon, and I trust also that you're going to be laboring along with me and some others of entering into that rest. Labor, labor, labor to enter into his rest. We're going to go to a quick little break. When we come back, Patricia Joy Xavier will be sharing out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. I want to just warm your heart with one of my favorite songs. We'll be right back.
Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier, and today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And we have heard some wonderful exhortation today from Pastor Vincent. That exhortation to enter into the rest of God is absolutely his work for us on earth. Is to enter into his rest. There's nothing greater, more exciting, more wonderful more exhilarating and more powerful than entering into the rest of the Lord. And there are means and ways we can get there. Now we do, and it is true, we must believe the word of God. There is no other way. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. However, when we read the word and the promises that are there thereof, we must have the understanding, and to do so, we must believe what we are reading and hearing. Now, there is trouble with man in this area, and I'd like to go into it with you, if I may. What is the trouble with him or her? Well, basically, if there is this kind of difficulty in entering into the peace of God, they are still guilty. He or she who have trouble entering in of their belief system, they are still guilty. And do you know why man suffers as a result of sin? No matter how hard man tries to be a free thinker, which we're trying to convince many to walk in the third day idea and concept of freedom. But no matter how hard man tries to be a free thinker without the accountability of the Word of God, he is guilty. And if he doesn't believe in the Word of God, that guilt remains. Because of ignorance and failure to seek instructions from God, he fails, she fails, and suffers from the guilt of sin. And that which is not faith is sin. So let's go back to basics. He or she is in agreement with Satan once that happens. And of course, Satan then attacks the person legally because of his or her sin. He has a right, bringing death to the spirit of man, confusion to his mind, and afflictions to his body. And worry and concern is the opposite of faith and believing. But Jesus Christ went to the cross to take away our guilt, to take away our sin. That which is not faith is sin. And the one sin that encompasses all sin is the sin of unbelief. Now, every one of us have been guilty. You've been guilty. I've been guilty. And every one of us has suffered from our guilt because of our sin. We've all been there. We all know that guilt has been a tormenting factor in our lives. To the degree that you give up your sin is the same degree to which you will receive freedom from bondage. Check your heart. See if there is still sin within it. If you truly want to be free from all bondage, if you truly, truly want to walk in this incredible third day experience, check your heart. Check your heart to see if you are still in sin, any sin. And again, remember that which is not faith is sin. And the greatest of all sin is not to believe. Now we know God, our Lord Jesus Christ, has done the most incredible work to help us to enter into our rest. He has done it all. But if we are guilty and ashamed because sin still has control over our life, how are we going to do it? Well, the only way is through faith and believing. And you can see that the spirit of guilt wants to remain in what it claims its house, as its house. The demonic presence and demons of guilt are very powerful and very strong because they have been since the fall. When Adam said, "I am ashamed," after the Lord questioned him as to why he was hiding, that was caused by guilt. And guilt remains in the heart of man until he comes to the cross, truly repents of his sin, the sin of unbelief, the sin of a lack of faith, because that which is not faith is sin, according to the word of God. In other words, he never really received the sacrifice made on the cross for him. And you can't sacrifice Christ afresh. You must do this with the wisdom and knowledge that I have to examine my heart and my mind. I have to understand so that there is no confusion within me. Why? Because if you don't, Satan has a legal right through sin to remain. If you are still sinning in your life, and you know you are, and you haven't turned from it, and you feel uncomfortable, not right, not truly serving God, not overcoming, you're dealing with this. What you must do is repent from it and go forth and do it no more. Jesus told the woman who was caught in adultery, he saved her. He said, who can cast the first stone? Who is without sin? When they all turn away and walked away and sin no more, unless a greater thing come upon you. Does that make sense to you? So because of remaining in sin that you know you should have confessed, you know you've been forgiven from the cross of Jesus Christ, by the cross of Jesus Christ, but you still do the same things, then Satan has a right to have a stronghold and remain. And you are guilty, you are ashamed, and you cannot enter into his rest. And furthermore, guilt is the outcome of unconfessed sin. You may even know you're sinning in certain areas, but you've never confessed it. And of course, sickness and disease are the outcome of sin manifested through guilt. Now, many churches will teach you this isn't true, but body of Christ, Christ has made a way for us to walk sinless and to walk in perfect health regarding or disregarding what is around and about us to attack us and cause us to be feeble. It's all been done on the cross. And if we have unconfessed sin, we are going to feel guilty. We are going to be ashamed. We're going to be in stress. And sickness and disease that is around and about in greater strains than ever as a plague. Sickness and disease, plagues, are the outcome of sin manifested through guilt. A person may try to cover guilt through various fleshy means. We have all done it. And many different ways. That's why people get into drugs and alcohol and other human diversions, drugs of every kind, even medical drugs. And we begin to want these things to take away pain, to help us to relax. However, guess what? Guilt will always remain. How then does one get rid of the tormentor? Because when you're in guilt, you're afraid. Fear brings torment. How then does one get rid of this tormentor? We just read in Psalms, confess your sins to the one who can forgive them, Almighty God. Do we do it? Are we cleansing our heart, mind, and soul daily? A good prayer to pray is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy wonderful name. Thy kingdom come. Well, you know, the kingdom has been granted to us. Jesus told us the kingdom is within, but he wants it activated. As we gather together with the kingdom of God within us, thy kingdom come on earth will happen as it is in heaven. Give us this day. He's given us this day our daily bread. He's provided our needs. As forgive us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespassers who has trespassed against us. Can't be forgiven unless you forgive others. And that's basic. But how many of us are keeping unforgiveness within our heart toward others, even ourselves? We can't even get to first base that way. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, meaning keep us safe from all of that temptation. Let us not have that experience again to be tempted. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. And that's where deliverance comes in. To be delivered from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So confess your sins to the one who can forgive them. Don't hold unforgiveness in your heart. Guilt and shame will remain if you do. And then there are those that say, well, I'm going nowhere. So what about psychology? Maybe I can go to a counselor that understands the ways of the mind and can help me get delivered. So I'll go to a Christian psychologist. Now, many attempts may be made to get relief through psychologists, but a psychologist cannot forgive sin. And will that psychologist tell you that that's your problem, basically? Well, from all the counselors I've known, the answer is no. They cannot even offer comfort. Therefore, the practice of psychology cannot relieve anyone's guilt. No one. Only one has done that. One mighty, greater than us has done that. Our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross took all sin upon himself, that we may be free of being in bondage to it. So the practice of psychology cannot relieve anyone's sin. It is amazing how many supposedly intelligent people spend small fortunes, body of Christ, folks, small fortunes and extensive amounts of time going to someone who, in reality, can do nothing to release the torment of sin. You know what happens at best? Only the person's senses are appeased through the recommended use of antidepressant drugs, and they do give you that. And it's only a temporary and delusive procedure that prolongs the torment. So you're going to go back to torment unless you stay on the drugs. And if you stay on the drugs, what happens to you? You become addicted. So now you're in a worse condition than when you started through. So the senses are appeased. Recommended is antidepressant drugs. And it's only a temporary, delusive procedure that prolongs the torment. Because deep inside, the enemy's still at work, bringing fear to your life because of guilt and shame. And fear brings torment. Their spirit, they're demonic. What he needed all along, you and I, was to take our sins to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. Now, I know when I came into my young adult stage, I so much wanted to be involved with psychology. I thought it was the greatest thing ever because it seemed like a way to go. It seemed like a way of relief. It seemed like a way of utopia, which the New World Order is grabbing hold of now to be rulers over the world, so that in AI or technology, they could make this world a utopia in their way of thinking. But they're not forgiven. They're still in guilt. They have not received Jesus Christ into their heart, or they wouldn't even be doing what they're doing. They would realize that Jesus Christ is the ruler of the universes and the ruler over this world, and not they. So we have all these methods that Satan has set up to deceive us and bring us into illusions. And it's happening in the school. They're using psychology in the school for children that have been disruptive, and they have been in a position of giving them some psychology methods of getting better. It's not the answer. The answer is the one that can relieve us of all and shame and unforgiveness and bring us into a place of clarity of mind and an incredible understanding of truth and life. To help us to be and enter into the third day reality, where we walk in absolute peace and truth regarding or disregarding what is going on around and about us. It doesn't matter. We know who we are. We are in perfect peace. We are in understanding and the divine wisdom of God. No weapon formed against us could prosper. Every accusation that rises up against us, we take the authority in Jesus Christ and we rebuke and command and curse that tongue that we have been granted. This is a gift of God, the forgiveness of sin. This is where free-mindedness and peace of mind comes into us, by the Spirit of truth and Christ, for what he did for us on the cross. He took our guilt. He took our shame by removing our sin. And the blood covered and delivered didn't keep just a covering. It delivered us from sin. Go and sin no more, the woman. Now you may ask, if all we need to do is ask for forgiveness, why would anyone need deliverance from devils? Think about it. Would you or would not the devils flee in the presence of repentance? What have they got to hold on to? What will their stronghold be? The answer is that, although it is true that the forgiveness from sin brings supernatural relief and peace to the believer, the person must take action and repent. A complete turning away is necessary. If you would stay in the state of holiness, demon cannot come back and enter into his house and bring seven more worse than himself. He couldn't do it. According to the word, if there's an open door of sin, he has opportunity. Now, if we have sinned, immediately, if we have the Holy Spirit, we have conviction of it. And we ask forgiveness. We don't stay in it. And the Holy Spirit won't allow us to, because the conviction will be heavy, because he knows our heart. Forgiveness immediately. Lord, forgive me for offending you in what I just did. And whoever I offended in it also, I forgive myself, because I know you have forgiven me for this. Cleanse me now, and I will do it no more. And when the time comes, the Holy Spirit will be there to tell you, don't go that way. And you begin to walk in freedom. You begin to walk in forgiveness. you begin to walk in as a person who is at peace, and that brings great joy to your life. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that begins to develop into your very thoughts, mind, and being. Your body even begins to rest. And when your body begins to rest, sickness and disease has a difficult time coming in and taking effect. And an infirmity will not stay. It can't, because peace is above everything that has been left. When Jesus took and went and took our sin and then went to heaven, he said, "Peace I leave with you, not as the world leaves, but as I leave." Not with drugs, sorcery, or any other means, but the way I leave it with you. In other words, you are forgiven. Your sin is removed. And it, again, it's a basic sin of unbelief. All other sins are built upon unbelief. Your sin of unbelief is removed. You have faith in my word. You'll walk in my word. And you will not continue in your sin. Because that, again, is an open door for the enemy to come in and start tormenting you. But the Spirit of the living God will convict you. And there's a difference between torment and conviction. Conviction will come into you and say, "That was not right, what you did. Confess it now." Pride will rise up and say, "No, no, I didn't do anything wrong." But the Spirit of God will continue to convict you until you say, "Forgive me, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ." And remember, Jesus said that we should pray to the Father in his name. So when we ask for forgiveness, we go to our Heavenly Father and we say, "Father, forgive me for what I just did in the name of Jesus Christ." Why? Because he's our authority. That name grants us authority to enter back into the presence of the Father. So deliverance from evil spirits is sometimes a necessary action and should be seriously considered and gratefully welcomed if we want to enter into the third day reality, which is entering into the rest of God. And he is calling out for you and I to come into that place of peace so that we can walk circumspectively in the times we're in. So when we hear of the horror and the wickedness that is going on around and about us, we will know that this is the outcome of evil. And we will not be touched in a way of being in a pressure, that we will be free to express our hearts and love, and we will stay in our peace. 10,000 will fall at our side. 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right. But we will not be touched. If you have any questions regarding what I am speaking and you don't agree, please let me know. It's so simple. Or if you do agree, just email me at PatriciaJoyXavier, A-V-I-E-R, PatriciaJoyXavier @gmail.com. If you would like to get my book in which I've been reading from, then go to Amazon online and just purchase Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. It will help you to get through these days that are going to become more horrified and more evil. And yet we will walk in the high place to be. Do you want to walk in your high place? Do you want to be an overcomer? So do I. Please understand the ways of I love you. God bless you. May he keep you in the palm of his hand. May he protect you and bring you into the deep wisdom and deep understanding that he grants us. And when we come back tomorrow, we will begin to minister deliverance. You will see the reality of devil spirits, and you will witness many manifestations of illegal trespassing. You can learn how to do this on yourself. You can do this with others that have already understood the ways of deliverance, but God wants us to become deliverers in Mount Zion. Bless you. You are loved.